We've been looking at the subject of sanctification over the past several weeks. And by way of review, last time we were together, we saw that people are sanctified from the common lot of mankind through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. We saw that Jesus offered his body by shedding his blood on behalf of others. And when people believe, they then receive the gift of Holy Spirit. The Corinthians, who were sanctified in Christ Jesus, were also called to be saints, to be holy or sanctified ones. They were separated from that which was common, the man of body and soul, through the truth of God's word regarding Jesus Christ's accomplishments for them. And they had also received the gift of Holy Spirit. The word that is rendered saint in the book of Corinthians and other places in the scriptures is not used regarding someone who has obtained a certain level of religious or moral growth and development, as some have suggested. Instead, we have seen by our study of the scripture that it is used of those who have been separated in Christ Jesus from the common lot of mankind. Common lot of mankind regarding just man of body and soul. And when they believe, anyone, man of body and soul, regarding God's word concerning Jesus Christ, they then receive that gift of Holy Spirit, which makes them a saint. Ephesians 2:18 said, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Ephesians teaches us that it's not many spirits that gets us to God, or it's not any spirit that gets us to God, that it's only one spirit that gets us to God, that gives us access to God, and that's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is given unto all who believe concerning Jesus Christ. This is God's gift to man. This is what sets mankind apart from all other. It's the gift of Holy Spirit. This gift is free. It sets you apart to inherit eternal life in the coming kingdom, and it's your right as a son of God. In this particular segment, I would like to begin to look at the scriptures with regards to the aspect of God's sanctification and God's call to walk sanctified. If you take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 9, it says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" 1 Corinthians 6:9. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Verse 10, "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." The common lot of mankind is referred to here in verses 9 through 11. These people of body and soul are called unrighteous. And it also says that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Man of body and soul is not destined to inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11 states, "And such were some of you." Such were some of you. All body and soul people are part of the common lot of mankind. And if they remain in that condition, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Corinthians, written to here, were formerly part of the group listed here. However, verse 11 speaks of them as being washed, being sanctified, and being justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Again, that Spirit referred to here is the gift of Holy Spirit given to the believer when they get born again. Those believers, those born again ones, those sanctified ones who receive the gift of Holy Spirit are then washed, they are sanctified, they are justified. That is all done for them in Christ Jesus. They are washed in that their sins are washed away because of Jesus Christ's accomplishments for them. They are justified in that they are legally justified from their sins by the accomplishments once again of Jesus Christ. They are also sanctified or separate from that which is common, regular body soul people, by Jesus Christ, once again, accomplished work for them and the corresponding gift that they receive, the gift of what? Holy Spirit. Please note, verse 11 does not say that they were sanctified, that they were justified, or they were washed by giving up those things listed in verses 9 and 10. That would be works. That would be doing something to earn something for your salvation, for your justification, for your sanctification. Okay? And a lot of churches teach that you have to do something to earn this. Verses 9 and 10 do not say that they give those things up, but rather it says that they were sanctified or set apart from the common lot of mankind in the name of Jesus Christ and by the gift of Holy Spirit that God gives to the believer at the time of the new birth. That's how they received their sanctification. That's how they were washed. That's how they were justified. And it is the gift of Holy Spirit that sets them apart from the common lot of mankind that they had previously belonged to. All mankind starts out that way, body and soul, right? We also see that they were sanctified, and we see the purpose that they were sanctified according to the verse. It says they were sanctified for the purpose of inheriting the kingdom of God. For the purpose of inheriting the kingdom of God. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. The common lot of mankind would not inherit the kingdom of God. The ones who were sanctified would inherit the kingdom of God. Now we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. We saw that 1 Corinthians was written to the church of God at Corinth a few segments back when we were looking at this. Now we see that 2 Corinthians is also written to the church of God. We saw that 1 Corinthians was written to those who were sanctified in Christ Jesus and were called saints. Here we see that 2 Corinthians is also written to the same group of people, to the church of God, along with those who were referred to as what? Saints. That's what it teaches us. The Greek word translated saints here is once again the adjective hagios. It is used to refer to people who are holy or sanctified ones. There were people here in 2 Corinthians that were marked off or separated out from that which is common. And the way that they got marked off or separated out or sanctified is that they believed concerning Jesus Christ and then they received the corresponding gift of Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit designated them as people who were sanctified, okay? So this is the group of people we're talking about. We're talking about people who have received Christ, who are sanctified, who are washed, who are justified. Now, with this information in mind, let's look at a passage of Scripture that is written to the sanctified Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, we're not talking to unbelievers. We're not talking to Old Testament. We're talking to saints, born again believers in the New Testament in a church epistle. And in 2 Corinthians, and these Corinthians that we're talking to are already what? Sanctified. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Now there's a new word that pops up here that we haven't had before in our study, and it's the word fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship relates to a person's walk. Sonship relates to that which a person is given in Christ. Verse 15, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Although these people, the Corinthians, were already sanctified in Christ Jesus from that which is common, the passage instructs them not to be unequally joined together with unbelievers, not to be unequally joined together with unrighteousness, not to be unequally joined together with darkness or with idols, but rather to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. Now we have to ask ourselves a question. If the Corinthians were already sanctified and set apart from the common lot of mankind and have all of these things in Christ, which we saw they did, and no one's disputing that, why should it be necessary for them to come out from among them and be separate? And that's a good question. And to receive the answer to that question, we read the next verse. And we have to understand that man put chapters in the Bible, not God. And man did a good job, but sometimes it throws you off. The next verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of what? In the fear of God. The Greek word render holiness here is hagisune. Hagisune. It's a noun form of the verb hagiazo. It may also be rendered sanctification. Although these people were already saints, they were instructed to cleanse themselves from all filthiness of flesh and what? Spirit. So they could perfect holiness in the fear of God. And in order to cleanse yourself from all filthiness of flesh, you can see that from the scriptures. But to cleanse yourself from all filthiness of spirit, you got to understand the spirit realm and how it works and how it infiltrates people and how it oppresses people and how it demonizes people. And the Corinthians were told to cleanse themselves from all filthiness. It's called filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That which they were instructed to do pertained to their fear or their reverence for God and their walk with God. That which they were instructed to do. That's what it pertained to. It did not pertain to what they already had in Christ Jesus. They were already sanctified and devoted to inherit the kingdom of God. However, in their reverence for God, they were instructed to perfect holiness. In their reverence for God, they were to be sanctified or separate from the common things of unrighteousness and the common things of idolatry. Sanctification here is used regarding the Corinthians' walk with God, a walk of being separate from that which is common, that which the world calls common, and that which the world pushes off and pawns off as common. Let's look at another record regarding Jesus Christ and him being sanctified. Look at John chapter 10. So you see, although they had this spiritually, God encouraged them to manifest it in their walk. And in order to do that, they had to recognize what was good and what was bad. And you see, now the scriptures in the Bible, in the New Testament especially, in the church epistles, where you start to read the put-offs and the put-on scriptures, they begin to make sense. And now there's a place for the put-off and the put-on scriptures in the church epistles. And it's not all about who you are in Christ, but it's all about what you're going to do now in your walk and how these put-off and put-on scriptures can apply to your life. And the walk scriptures in the Bible, walk ye as light, walk in love, walk circumspectly, walk not as fools, walk, etc. These scriptures now fit with the whole of the word in your application of the practical walk in Jesus Christ. Matthew, or John chapter 10, look at verse 36. And again, we're studying the word sanctified and seeing how the word of God defines it. Say ye of him, 10:36, say ye of him, Jesus Christ, whom the Father hath what? Sanctified. God sanctified Jesus Christ, but the scripture tells us further. It says, and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. So here we see that Jesus Christ was sanctified by who? He was sanctified by God. But he just wasn't sanctified by God. He was sanctified by God for a purpose. He was given a mission. He was what? Sent into the world. Sent into the world. He was given a special mission to the world, and God commissioned him thus. Matthew chapter 3, please. It says in John, we read, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified. Now, up until this point, when we've studied this word out, we saw that when God sanctifies somebody, he sets them apart, and what does he do? He gives them what? The gift of what? Holy Spirit. That designates them as that sanctified person, right? We've seen that in the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, it says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the what? Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well what? Like all who believed, Jesus received the gift of Holy Spirit, thus separating or sanctifying him from the common lot of mankind. Now, was he different from the common lot of mankind before he received the Holy Spirit? Sure he was. But he still received that Holy Spirit, and we saw that all who are sanctified in Christ receive what? The Holy Spirit. Jesus likewise. Look at John chapter 17. John 17, look at verse 14. Jesus Christ. Now this is a bombshell. Watch it. It's a good thing. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So the prayer of Jesus Christ was that don't take them out of the world, but I pray that you keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast what? Sent me. We saw previously that God sanctified Jesus Christ and sent him on a mission, sent him to the world, gave him an assignment, okay? However, in verse 19, here we see that Jesus says that he sanctifies or separates himself. Even though God had already sanctified or separated Jesus Christ and set him apart for a special mission, we see that Jesus had to sanctify himself from the common things of the world. He also spoke of those who would believe on him being sanctified or separate from that which is common by the truth. According to verse 17, it says, thy word is what? Truth. God's word is the truth that was to set them apart from that which was common. God's word sanctifies. That's huge. Because you know what that tells me? That tells me that this here will help me live sanctified. God's word sanctifies. God's word instructs me on how to live sanctified. God's word instructs me on what to do. God's word instructs me on what not to do. And in doing this, it sanctifies me. It keeps me from the evil. You see? God's word keeps me from the evil. Watch it. He spoke of those who would believe on him being sanctified or separate from that which is common by the truth. God's word is what sanctifies. To see what kind of sanctification Jesus was praying about, let's look again at verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but what he wanted them to be protected from, what he wanted them to be set off from, was that they should be kept from the evil. One way those who believe then and those who believe now in Jesus Christ could be separated from the evil in the world, from the evil, would be for God to take them out of the world. So if you would remove the people from out of the world, naturally that would separate them from the evil in the world, right? But Jesus Christ said, that ain't the route I want to go. Jesus didn't pray for God to take them out of the world. What he prayed for was for God to keep them from the evil. That's what he prayed for. Thus, the manner in which he spoke of them being sanctified was for them to be kept from the evil. You understand? This is how he wanted them to be sanctified, to be kept from the evil. How was this to be accomplished? Through the truth. What is the truth? Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy what? It was God's word that was to separate them. It was God's word that was listened to and believed that they then walked out on, which kept them from the evil, kept them from getting in trouble, kept them from going down the wrong road with the wrong girl at the wrong time. You understand? It was the word. Yeah. Jesus Christ spoke and ate with sinners because he came to call sinners to repentance. He did not isolate himself from the common man, the common lot of mankind, but he did separate himself from the common evil by the truth that resided in his mind of God's word That's what separated him from the common evil of mankind. Jesus spoke and ate with sinners, but he was not a sinner. Likewise, the Corinthians we read about here were sanctified in Christ Jesus, but they were instructed to maintain a separateness from evil in their walk as they lived among the other Corinthians who were not sanctified in Christ. In other words, if this epistle is written to those in Norristown or those in Audubon or those in Phoenixville, it'd be written to those called saints, such and such, such and such. But not everybody who lives in Norristown, Audubon, or Phoenixville is born again. And that which they partake in, that which they do as the common thing to do, the church was instructed for them not to be yoked to that. Don't get involved with the drugs. Don't get involved with the drinking. Don't get involved with the immorality. Don't get involved with the foolishness of the world. Don't get involved with idolatry. Don't get involved with unrighteousness. All of these things are listed, and such were some of you, but ye are now what? Therefore, come out from among them. Don't go back into that junk that you got washed from. How are they supposed to do this? They're supposed to do this, and the only way they can do this is in their walk. In their walk. The believer, the saint, the sanctified one, is not to walk or associate himself in those things which God had separated him from, so he set him apart over here. And that's where all the do and don't and put on and put off and walk scriptures come in the Word of God. Because the Word of God is for instruction. It's for doctrine. It's for reproof. It's for what? Instruction and righteous correction. These sort of things. And the Word of God teaches us what we should do and what we should not do. Why? Because we want legalism? No. Because we want to perfect our walk in holiness with regards to our reverence for God. Do you respect God? You say you love God. You say you respect God. Then our walk should reflect that of one of a child who respects or loves a loving father. Right? Sure, it's sense. It's just common sense. Because we are so thankful for what our God did for us, we now get the opportunity to do for him by showing him how much we love him by our walk for him. Not because we want to earn anything for him, but because we are gratefully responding to the lovely gift that he has given us and carefully placed inside of us, as we heard in Manifestations. The Corinthians were instructed to maintain a separateness from evil in their walk as they lived among the other Corinthians who were not sanctified in Christ. Likewise, we are instructed to maintain a separateness from the evil in the world. When you're at such and such with the boys, you don't become the boys. You understand? If such and such is passing around a Playboy magazine at the barbershop and it comes to you, you don't partake of that centerfold. You come out from among them. You understand? This is how you do it. If such and such is going out to the parking lot for their lunch break and they want to snort a line of coke or they want to blow a joint, you don't do that because it's wrong. And you come out from among them. I know this is weird to some of you older people, but it's to some of these young people, this stuff goes on. That's BS. That's despitefully taking the name of Jesus Christ and walking a foot over to trodden underfoot the Son of God and that which he came to separate you from. And then you call it grace, and then you want to tell me you're going to heaven and you got the hope and you got all these wonderful things and your life is a manifestation of the pit of hell. That's not blessing God, my friends. That's not reverencing God in your walk. That's not being a good witness. You understand? And then people look at you and say, he's a Christian? And he's going out and screwing around on his wife, or he's going out getting drunk every night, or he's going out. And so what's your answer to that? Don't put me under a law. Come on. How stupid can you be? Can't you come up with something better than that? You think that Jesus Christ is going to accept that excuse? Do you think that God's going to accept that excuse? You hurt yourself. He loves you. Are you going to heaven? Yeah, you're going to heaven. Rob Ray told me this one time. And he said to me, he said, you know, you got these group of people and they just don't want to hear, but they're born again. He said, when you get to heaven and you go looking for them, he says, they're all going to be with the other group of people that don't want to hear that are born again. And he said, oh, they're over in that room. And they're still the same way. Look, just going to heaven isn't the thing. How we get there is half the fun. The Corinthians were instructed to perfect holiness or sanctification from the common things, from the common things of unrighteousness, from the common things of idolatry. Now, we could sit here all night and start talking about common things of unrighteousness, right? What the world has with regards to a smorgasbord presentation of unrighteousness, the common things of unrighteousness. Perfect holiness from the common things of unrighteousness. Pornography. You know, the list goes on and on and on. But they weren't supposed to partake of those things. They were supposed to come out and be separate from them. By doing so, by perfecting holiness from the common things of unrighteousness and idolatry, they were to devote their walk to the reverence of God. Likewise, we should devote our walk to the reverence of God, who has devoted us to inherit his kingdom. And that's not a good exchange. You know, the insurance man says apples for apples, right? That's like a grape for a watermelon. The kingdom of God, and in turn, we're to devote our walk to walk for him, for his glory. As we continue to study our sanctification, we should now be very careful to begin to distinguish between our sanctification that is given to us through Jesus Christ and our walk of sanctification or separation from the common evil in the world. The Bible said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word will continue to separate you. The word will continue to set you off. The word will continue to make a difference between that which is common as you continue to read the word and apply the word in your life. The word teaches us how to walk once we're born again. It says to walk in newness of life. The word encourages us, walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. It says, let us walk honestly. Walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called. Walk not as the other Gentiles walk. That's what he was telling the Corinthians. Don't walk like those guys. Come out from among them and be what? Separate. Walk in love. Walk as children of light. Walk circumspectly. Walk by the same rule. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. As you have therefore received the Lord Jesus, walk ye in him. Walk in wisdom. How you ought to walk and please God. Walk honestly towards them that are without. Walk in light. Walk after his commandments. And the great one in Sturgeon, I rejoice greatly to hear that my children walk in truth. In truth. You see? Now, on our final segment, we're going to begin to examine some of the scriptures in the New Testament that have to deal with our walk of sanctification and how God encourages us through the Bible to apply this to our daily life so that we can perfect holiness and our reverence for God. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your clear-cut instructions in that word. And we thank you, Father, for being able to understand two aspects of sanctification, that which relates to our sonship and that which relates to our fellowship, that which relates to what Christ accomplished for us, and now that which relates to what we can accomplish for you, because we are thankful and we want to live for you and we want to perfect holiness in our reverence for you. Thank you for each person here. I thank you for the people that will hear this teaching, and I thank you that they take it to heart, not in a condemning way, Father, but just in a way that now there's accountability in the church. And that we who should be doing something in the church should get off our duffs and do it and not use the excuse, it's grace and we're going to heaven. because you didn't call us to use that excuse, Father. You called us to walk circumspectly and walk in your light. And we thank you for these wonderful things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.